I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent.
With that introduction by the choir, I welcome you to the Voice of Hope today. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher, and I'm glad you've chosen to join me. I trust you'll be blessed as we spend the next half hour together. Now, I'm guessing that at some point in your life, you've seen a mirage. You know, on those hot summer days, when the highway pavement just seems to shimmer, and it looks like there's water on the road? But then you get closer, and it just disappears, or it just moves a little farther out into the distance. Now, if you were able to get above the highway and look down on it, you wouldn't see those mirages. You see them because of the angle at which you're viewing the surface of the road. Your view of life largely depends on the angle you're looking from also. Look at the situation from one vantage point, and it looks a certain way. Change your vantage point, and it can look much different. That means it's important for you to choose the proper vantage point so you can make the best decisions in your life. And that's the focus of our program today, and in a few moments, I'll be sharing a message from God's Word titled, Get the Big Picture. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to examine your Word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who opens our understanding and helps us to see life from your vantage point. Bless your word to our hearts and make us more like Jesus, I pray, in His name. Amen. As I said in my opening remarks, perspective is very important. Perspective refers to the way we see or understand objects or issues or ideas. It's our point of view. Perspective involves choice. It implies a decision. Information has to be sorted out. Truth and falsehood must be separated. Wrong ideas must be subjected to the light of truth. So during our time in the Word today, we'll go to one of the Old Testament prophets for a lesson on perspective. In this account, we'll see how having the proper perspective can move us from uncertainty to confidence in a future that is yet unknown to us. I'll be reading Isaiah chapter 6 as our text for this teaching. So listen carefully as I read the Holy Scripture. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and be healed." Then I said, "Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate, the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it, and will return and be for consuming, as a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be its stump." As we examine this text, we'll see three viewpoints that will help us to get the big picture and lead us to a proper understanding of reality. The first viewpoint is earthly uncertainty. The first verse of this chapter begins with, "In the year that King Uzziah died." Now, I want to acknowledge I'm reading some things into this phrase that I cannot be absolutely certain about from the text alone. You need to understand that up front. But on the other hand, knowing my responsibility before God to handle His Word carefully, I trust what I have to say won't violate Scripture. I base these comments on the whole scope of the Bible and then our shared experiences as human beings. We do know from the Bible and from history that Uzziah was one of the good kings of Judah. His reign was stable, it was prosperous, and it lasted for 52 years. Now, he wasn't a perfect leader. In fact, near the end of his reign, he made a major blunder. But overall, he was a good leader. Just think about it. Try to imagine having a capable, competent president who served our country for more than 50 years. Reading the history of the kings of Judah and Israel show that transitions of power could be a very messy business. So as Isaiah recalls the prosperous and stable reign of Uzziah, and he contemplates the unknown, he could very easily have felt just like we do in our times of uncertainty. Picture with me in your mind Isaiah going into the temple to sit before the Lord and to ask him some questions. "Lord, where do we go from here? Who's going to take the reins of power? And what kind of leader will he be? What's going to happen to this nation and your people?" I know I've felt that way already as I was waiting for the results of an election to be announced. There's a feeling of uncertainty. Now, our uncertainty exists at least in part because the perspective we have is so limited. Most of what we know is based on our personal experience or the experiences of others that we know, experiences that have been shared with us. All Isaiah could do was look back on the reign of good King Uzziah and wonder, what's coming next? Like us, he couldn't know what was going to happen tomorrow. We can speculate about the future, but we can't predict it with any degree of certainty. Our limited human perspective often obscures our view of reality. And that brings us to our next viewpoint. We move from earthly uncertainty to heavenly reality. In response to Isaiah's unspoken questions, God responds. And notice God didn't respond with an earthquake, a fire, a wind, or even a still small voice. But he gave Isaiah a vision. And what a glorious and awesome vision it is. Isaiah sees the exalted Lord sitting on the throne, presiding over the universe. Hovering over the throne were the seraphim, fiery, angelic attendants, and each of them had six wings. Now, we don't have time to explore the specifics given about these seraphim, but they hovered above the throne and they were crying continually, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." I'm told that in the Hebrew language, the way to emphasize something is to repeat it. The more often it's repeated, the more forceful it becomes. The word holy, just stated once, is a powerful word. But here it's given three times in succession. The thrice holy God is separated from mixture, and he is pure beyond anything man can envision. Some other examples of this emphasis are found in Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 29, and Ezekiel 16:23. At the cry of these angelic beings, the doorposts and the threshold of the throne room shook, and the place was filled with smoke. What an awesome display of the holiness of God. Here was Isaiah remembering the glorious reign of Uzziah and wondering what the future holds. And what did God do? He opened the portals of heaven for just a moment and allowed the prophet to see into that heavenly throne room. And the revelation from God comes to the prophet like a bolt of lightning. Uzziah has vacated his throne, but I have not vacated mine. That's the first part of this viewpoint of heavenly reality. My friend, God is still on the throne, and there will never be a time when he is not on the throne. Earthly rulers come and go, but God remains. What comfort, what assurance. Let that truth remove any and all uncertainty from your heart. But there's a second part to this viewpoint of heavenly reality. It's Isaiah's view of himself once he experiences the awesome presence of the Lord. Look at what he says. "Woe to me." What does that mean? Well, the word woe is as much a sound as it is a word, a groan of rejection and despair. If you recall, in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus pronounced woe on the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. And Revelation chapter 8, verse 13 records the angel crying out, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth," just before the last three trumpet judgments are poured out. It's a word of hopelessness and despair. Then further, Isaiah says, "I'm undone." Now, according to the theological word book of the Old Testament, the use of this verb in the prophetic books of the Bible means to come to an end, but it always indicates a violent end. Dr. R.C. Sproul, in his excellent book, The Holiness of God, describes this word undone as a piece of cloth in which the individual threads are being unraveled and the whole thing begins to fall apart. So here was Isaiah, a righteous man, a prophet of the Most High God, God's man for the hour. Yet when he comes into the presence of God Almighty, he anticipates a violent end because he sees his own uncleanness. In fact, he cries out, "I'm a man of unclean lips." Now that's interesting, isn't it? Why did he say that? Why didn't he say something like Jeremiah's words, "My heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. No, he said, I am a man of unclean lips. My mind immediately goes to the words of Jesus in Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our speech reveals what's in our hearts. And so the prophet cringes in horror at the thought of his utter destruction. But praise God, my friend, destruction is not the motivating force of the God that you and I serve. The motivating force of our God is life. He spoke into the blackness and the void of pre-creation eternity, and he brought life and light. Or maybe we should say he brought light and life. And he reaches into the depravity and despair of our sin-cursed souls, and he does the same thing. He brings light and life. And when he does that, we are brought to an understanding of the final viewpoint. And that final viewpoint is personal responsibility. As I said just a moment ago, God does not want to destroy. He wants to give life. In this case, he wants to cleanse Isaiah so he can be useful in his service. And he wants to do the same for you and for me. It's not enough to decry our sinfulness. We must respond to the offer of cleansing that's effected through the blood of Christ. So one of the seraphs takes a pair of tongs, and he goes to the altar of sacrifice. To me, this is a reminder that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So the seraph takes the tongs, he picks up a live coal from off the altar, and he comes to Isaiah, and he places it upon his lips, and he says, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Now I go back to what I said earlier about the connection between the heart and the lips. The lips can only be pure if the heart is pure. The first part of our personal responsibility is to accept the cleansing that is offered. But then there's an additional response. Now the voice of the Lord says, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" You know, no one is cleansed from his or her sin simply to be cleansed from sin. Yes, it's true, God does love us, and he doesn't want any human being to perish. But there's more. God has a plan and a purpose for every person who responds to his call of salvation. By finding and fulfilling that purpose, we glorify God, and we demonstrate the reality of his presence in our lives. Now the prophet Isaiah understood this, and so he responded, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah was given a particularly difficult assignment, an assignment of speaking God's words to a people who didn't want to hear them. You know, I'm not sure our assignment today is much different. There are many in our culture who have no desire to hear the words of the Lord. Could it be that part of the reason for their hostility is that we Christians have done such a poor job of living up to God's standard? We may talk about the love of Jesus to an unsaved neighbor one day, and the next time we talk with him, we may talk about a brother in the church that we just can't get along with. So what kind of signal does that send? Or perhaps the bumper sticker on your vehicle declares that you're a Christian, but your driving proves you're looking out for yourself first. We may talk about loving Jesus and yet complain to a fellow employee about the failures of a spouse. We say we love Jesus, and then we talk disrespectfully about the boss, about the government officials, or maybe the police. We're talking about the viewpoint of personal responsibility. Too many of us, and I include myself in this, tend to be more concerned about the strength of the economy, or being protected from the next terrorist attack, or how we can add to our bank account or to our personal comforts. And we're not concerned enough about our next-door neighbor's salvation or taking the gospel to the unreached peoples around the world. Our perspective is skewed, and we're not seeing the big picture that God wants us to see. Now, maybe you're thinking that's pretty blunt. It is, but I want you to notice I included myself in what I said. The Lord spoke these things to my heart before you heard them. And I hope you understand that what I said to you was motivated by my love and concern for the church as the body and the bride of Christ. So what do we do with these viewpoints? We can cling to the earthly viewpoint, and we can heave a collective sigh of relief because our candidate, quote-unquote, won the election. We can long for the good old days, whatever they are, and we can bemoan the loss of morality and civility in our culture. Or we can spend time in God's presence, the heavenly reality. We can allow His absolute holiness and His overflowing glory to show us our true spiritual condition. We can allow His unparalleled sovereignty to expand our microscopic perspective. We can rejoice that He hasn't abandoned His throne. He's in control, and He will give leadership in the kingdom of men to whomever He chooses. And once we're genuinely convinced of the heavenly reality, the viewpoint of personal responsibility will bring us to repentance, and it will cause us to echo the words of the prophet, "Here am I. Send me." My friend, make no mistake, the task before us is not an easy one, but we do have the promise of God that it will be fruitful. As we ponder these viewpoints and integrate them into our lives, it will help us to get the big picture so that you and I too can be fruitful in God's kingdom.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, Thy great name we praise.
Unresting,
unhasty,
and silent as light,
nor wanting,
in might, Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, Thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, Thine angels adore Thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, O help us to see. 'Tis only the splendor of light hideth Thee. Great Father of glory, Thy great name we praise.
Praise God, we can rest in His sovereign control of our world. Well, friend, our time is almost gone, and I thank you for joining me for the Voice of Hope. You know, we'd love to hear from you. If you were blessed and encouraged by today's program, it only takes a few moments to send an email or to write a note and let us know you're listening. The easiest way for you to contact us is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a copy of this teaching, Get the Big Picture, in print or on an audio CD. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to the program whenever it fits your schedule. We also encourage you to visit our Facebook page to see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. And that's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, you may send your request to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 and ask for the teaching by its title, Get the Big Picture. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I've enjoyed being with you today, and I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. And until we meet again,
walk with me, lest mine eyes no longer see all the glory, all the story of your love. Talk to me, like you spoke so tenderly when you talk there, when you talk with me, talk with me, lest mine ears no longer hear all the wonder, all the beauty of your grace. Walk with me, as you walk so lovingly, when you walk there, when you talk there by the sea. Let me follow in the footsteps that trod the shore of Galilee. Let me learn understand all my duty, all the beauty of your love. All my duty, all the beauty.